Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. It's Friday. Yay, Fridays. That means Clint Yates is here. Yates, what up?
Nothing much, man. How are you? I'm excited for this weekend. May the 4th is this weekend, so Star Wars Celebration will be on deck.
Yeah. You guys do anything special on the pod?
No, but we have already launched our newest episode for Andor, which is out, but more importantly, because I'm in Los Angeles, there will be some events to attend. So I might be going to the Academy Museum to check out some of that stuff, because that is always a fun time.
Indeed. So you can check that out. And of course, also Clinton and Friends on ESPN Radio every single day. Big story here, of course, Clinton, that I am excited to talk to you about is the Commanders announced Monday their intention to return to D.C. officially in conjunction with the mayor's office. Of course, it still needs D.C. City Council approval. When you were working at the Post, I'm sure you would have covered this story like back then. You also have a background covering like D.C. Metro.
Yep.
I'm going to start as broad as I can. Like, what was your reaction to the announcement, the press conference, and kind of where that the fact that that announcement was made given the current state of play and how much work is still to be done?
Well, honestly, we could spend an hour on this, and I'm going to try to be succinct, not because I think that it's like necessary, but I do think that there is some level of getting lost in the sauce that is separate from the actual stadium matter. So for those who don't understand, there's federal land, blah, blah, blah. Part of the reason why this was never turned over directly to DC is because certain people across the country basically felt the city didn't deserve it for one reason or another, separate from the football stadium. And that alone was a controversial enough situation for literal decades that the conversation that was harbored around what should be done with the space ranged from something much larger than any football stadium. I remember literally a decade plus ago when I was at a community meeting or nine where people were trying to figure out what was the best actual use for this site. Parks. I don't know, you know, trying to build some sort of like Hollywood facility, maybe expanding a university there. There were all sorts of things well beyond just the stadium that were part of the discussion. That being said, once it became clear that the stadium was back in play as something to be done, the entire timbre of this conversation changed drastically for people who live in that neighborhood, because I used to live in that neighborhood as well for a long time. So there are two separate discussions on what it means to the city versus what it means to the team.
Well, let's start off with the neighborhood discussion then, because I think that's one of the more interesting ones. And I think where I've kind of come down is if you live in that neighborhood and you're like, I don't want the stadium here. I'm like, you probably shouldn't. You knew this was possible. Like, you had to factor this into the equation. Also, on a separate level, a lot of the folks that don't want the stadium had no problem kicking out other residents that used to live there. Yeah. Specifically, a lot of rich white people kicked out a lot of poor black folks as that area was gentrified. So I am not going to have a whole lot of sympathy for you if that is you now being like, I don't want a stadium in
my backyard.
Hold on,
though. I think that there is an easy way to sort of dismiss it as NIMBYism. But the other thing about it is that the reason why a lot of people think that this is not a bad idea is because they believe, as a result of the conversation we just had, that there are better options for the space than the stadium. And so if you put it in the sort of the double bind of it's the stadium or nothing, you're not actually giving it the proper context for what it could be. And that's where I think a lot of people miss the mark on what people are thinking about when they say, I don't want a stadium here. It's not that I want nothing here. It's right. That the stadium might not be the best option considering what it is. Just to clear that up.
No, I think that's totally fair. And that's why this gets complex, right? Is yeah. There is option, like at this point, we're past option A, which is it stayed where it was. Like they have unlocked the land from the federal government. They are going to do something. That is the negotiations and ultimately the vote that is going to happen in July. I'm just saying, like, for the neighborhood objectors, sure. Okay, fine. We want something else. But I just don't have a lot of sympathy, a lot of empathy for yeah. folks that are like, the stadium is going to cause too much traffic when they chose to live in a neighborhood that was like the RFK Stadium neighborhood. Like, well, what did you think was going to happen?
I mean, that's an excellent question. But at the same time, what people thought was going to happen versus what did are two different discussions. That stadium hasn't been occupied like that for literally 40 years. It's been used, but DC United wasn't actually causing problems in the neighborhood like that. There was no national team games, USA women's or men's aside. And the Nats, people were not clogging up the neighborhood. Like it's been a full-blown generation and a half almost since regular traffic like that was a thing. And you know, you can say it was inevitable, but again, it's been a really long time. People who have lived there have more sort of sleepy lives than I think what a stadium brings there. That's part of the reason why they're there.
Fine.
It is. We can agree to disagree. But I know that as somebody that lived in the neighborhood, I understand where that comes from. People can barely get around town there anyway. Never mind if you add this to the mix.
No, I get it. I just, at some point, like, you're part of a larger ecosystem, and do you want the city? And I understand that, like, there's plenty of people that live there that don't give a rip about the Washington Commanders, and they don't want the stadium in D.C. or don't right. really care whether the stadium's in D.C. One of the other things that I think is interesting, Clinton Yates with us, of course, ESPN commentator, host of Clinton and Friends on ESPN Radio, D.C., D.C.'s very own, longtime Washington Post columnist, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. One of the other arguments that I think is interesting mm-hmm. is I do not think this land gets unlocked from the federal government without the lobbying that the Commanders and the NFL do.
Yeah.
Now, Josh Harris has said, like, I wanted to be a good citizen and I unlock the land, and then we'll do our best to see if we can secure it. And that's the right public stance to stay. But what validity do you give to that argument that if you're the Commanders and you go sit down with a city council member who's on the fence and you're like, look, the fact that you have this decision to make in the first place is thanks to us. Does that move you at all?
I think that that's going to be the worst possible strategy for Josh, even if it is the actual truth of the matter. I think the best strategy for Josh is to say, listen, even if, because you got to understand, a lot of these council members are also not DC natives. These are people who just live here. And I'm not trying to throw shade at anybody in specific, but it means something different to different people. I, as a DC native who is not a Commanders fan, understand the arguments of the city. But there are plenty of people who are Commanders fans who are not from DC who are like, yo, why would you think twice about this? So there's all sorts of different constituencies in terms of how people arrive. I think that the best method that Josh Harris could use is to say, we've got to find a way to collaborate on this site that makes sure that nobody other than the district benefits from it as much as we do. And whether that's through how the public funding works or whatever, because reminder, if you give up a certain amount of public funding, it means that effectively Josh Harris can do what he wants with it if he's controlling the entirety of the site, potentially leading to the city losing out on a lot of money. So what you don't want is a scenario in which they're finding a way to make it in spite of, if you will, district officials. Therefore, the initial process of planning does not benefit things the way that you want. You can't just turn it all over to Josh and say, build everything you want, and we don't care. That's not only irresponsible, but I think that's also a little too much to put on an NFL football team or a billionaire, even if he does have a lot of other interests. I think it is in good faith to the city if city council members say, hey, look, all right, there's the stadium site, but then there's everything else. We need to talk about the everything else well before we discuss some dome stadium that's potentially going to get let's say, a Women's World Cup final in whatever amount of years. You know what I mean? Like, you've got to get that part first and not just say, oh, yeah, we'll throw in some housing and some mixed-use retail, blah, blah, blah. No, that's got to be the primary element to me, because that's where the big gap in understanding of what development is goes wrong. Things are promised. Things don't work out. Next thing you know, it's a bunch of one studio, one bedroom, two bedroom apartment max places that are charging rent that nobody can afford who's ever lived here anyway. And that's what I'm saying. You've got to have some accountability beforehand before you start putting shovels in the ground.
Right. And that stuff is being worked on right now, right? The initial plan has all these plans for mixed use stuff. This region's going to have this. This region's going to be more like, they literally have like neighborhoods within the neighborhood. And it's like, this one's going to be residential. There's a 30% affordable housing, percentage right. that is negotiable. And one thing that I talked about with Sam Fortier the other day is, what happens to the other 70? Is it then 70% luxury, or is there 40% that's middle class and then 30% luxury? And like, those details are going to matter a lot as well. But considering how much money the Commanders are putting in, the fact that it is a 75%+ private investment, the Harris Group is the one that is going to be commissioning all of that. Sure. And so that is an interesting thought too, that you just brought up, of the less public money, the less public control, because eventually, like, Josh Harris as a landlord is going to want to recoup as much as he can, assuming that that is how the arrangement is going to work on some level.
Yes, exactly right. And that's something to keep in mind for fans as well. And also, like, I don't want to get too far into this because I sound like some sort of a, you know, rambling professor, but the idea of how that kind of project works from a development standpoint is not always one for one. And you talked about the idea of, I don't want too much traffic. Like, that is a singular context in terms of what people believe Sundays are going to be, just for reference point. But when you have living in a neighborhood for a long time, and all of a sudden a big thing comes to the neighborhood on a day-to-day basis, quality of life is affected to a point that might make you want to live somewhere else. And that is a different form of displacement that happens in a separate one-for-one context than what would be on the actual site per se. And that's where these kind of malleable gray areas come in about what development actually means for a neighborhood. And so if there's a lot more of that in NIMBYism, it's not, you can't just drop in from the sky, like, I don't know, The Sims or Roller Coaster, you know, whatever that game is, and just drop things in. And then all of a sudden they're thriving and integrating with the community. That's just not how it works. And so I'm as interested in how other areas of the development work from other partners that are not just on the site, because that's actually how it happens well beyond the plans.
So going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
So, Clint Yates with us here on the Hoffman Show. You covered the Nats Park stuff, right?
Yeah, big time.
So how would you describe some of those conversations then? And how would you, would you describe what's happened in Navy Yard and Nats Park through some of those lenses you just said as a success?
I would qualify it as a success for what their goal was, but I would not qualify it as a success for what the intended possibilities were in terms of outcomes. Now, I'm sort of getting a little long in the tooth here, but there's a documentary called Chocolate City. It was made by a girl that went to my high school. I only call her a girl. She's a grown woman now because I've known her for a long time, Ellie Walton. It's about the Arthur Kapper projects that were literally raised, R-A-Z-E-D, in order to make room for all of these other things. Now, why is that important? Because they were promised a lot of stuff, but ultimately they didn't have the manpower, they didn't have the political know-how, and they didn't have the backing to fight for themselves. And eventually developers kind of ran roughshod. Now, a lot of those developers are people from the area. So it's not like you're entirely ripping anything away from those constituents who have something. But for the people who have literally lived their whole lives in that part, they don't got time to be fighting big time developers about anything. And so now, while the area is improved in this context, remember when there was a shooting outside of Nats Park on South Capitol Street? That whole other side, SciFact Gardens, is still, respectfully, a hellhole. People would not want to be walking through there on the way to Nats games. It is literally adjacent as a neighborhood. They haven't seen much change other than maybe getting a couple of food service jobs at Nats Park. So you got to be real about what's going on. Things are going to go away. It's just a matter of whether or not you can say to yourself, I think it's worth it for football. I think the popular vote is yes. But I also think that because people want to make themselves feel better in D.C., they're acting like something can't happen that absolutely can.
Right. The one difference, and I'm saying difference not to say that this makes everything okay, because I think this goes back to the other form of displacement that you talked about, right? Mm-hmm. No one's going to get kicked out of their house because currently the land that is going to get built on is unoccupied.
Right.
Right. This is this big, giant 180 acres where there is currently the fields at RFK and a couple of other things, but there's no residential on that. But that does not mean there aren't second wave, third wave effects on the surrounding neighborhoods.
That's exactly right. And that's the issue. And I'll tell you this, just to kind of not exactly wrap this up, but to kind of put a pin on it. My father, he went to Eastern High School. Eastern High School is the closest high school to RFK Stadium that there is. When he was a senior in high school, they built it. He saw it go up and he will see it go down, which is a crazy thing in itself. That school has been about as underpopulated as probably any in the DC public school system as there are. Spingarn on the other side on Benning Road, which is the second closest high school in DC, included. Eastern High School to me will be the bellwether of whether or not all of these operations around RFK are helping the actual community. The Turkey Bowl is typically held there, the DCIAA Championship on Thanksgiving morning. It's got a couple things, but it is an old place that does not have once the standard it had. If Eastern High School is doing okay, I'll believe that the neighborhood has been accounted for in a way that makes sense within the rest of this. And I know that's one random example that happens to be personal, but that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about when I mean local stuff. It's not just food deserts. It's not just, oh, well, you're going to get a job at the stadium. It's like, what happens for people who are invested in the space, as it were, generationally? And that's hard to tell always until it goes away.
And then last question for you, because you did grow up going to games at RFK. Like, you're one of the people who talks about, I was at the seat cushion game. I was there when the stands were shaking.
Yeah.
Like, how do you balance all that stuff we just talked about with the very real, like, joy that could come with Jaden Daniels leading a very good football team on opening day into 2030?
I think that you've got to let the nostalgia go and you've got to create a facility that people want to be in that harkens back. You cannot recreate RFK. I don't necessarily even think you should try. Is there some sort of immersive experience maybe you could have within there as an entertainment element? Sure. But again,
visit our bouncing seat station outside section 128.
Like, let's be real. It was the 80s and 90s, and it was dangerous in that bad boy. You know what I'm saying? You can't just do that the way that you used to be able to. So I think that there's so much overall that they can get right, that it is worth pursuing. But I just want to be real about what the downsides are to operations like that. I'm so, so, so happy, though, for a lot of people who've had a lot of experiences at that site. It's not just about NFL football. Like I said before, DC United played there. The Nationals played there for 3 seasons. It was a community facility for a long time. And if this place can get back to that, because the landscape's a little different, you've already got Audi, you've already got Nats Park, then they've got something. If it's just another football stadium that people go to once a week, That's not what you want.
Yeah. I just think, though, that it's the nation's capital. It's Washington, D.C. And you got the World Cup coming in 2026, and there's not a game? Like, yep. That's embarrassing.
Right.
Building a world-class facility. Now, that world-class facility could be in Landover, right? If this falls through, they're likely headed back to Landover. They'll do Landover 2.0. That stadium will be way better than FedEx ever was, or whatever the Northwest Stadium ever was. Like, they'll do a good job because Josh Harris is good at doing a good job. But to have it actually within the boundaries of the district, I think just means more, not only to the city, but like what it means to be a major city in the country and in the world.
I agree with that to a certain degree. And I'm going to call upon an example that you're probably not going to like. And I've thought about this, and I don't necessarily know how hard I believe this, but it's something I considered. There's a world in which I believe they should move the headquarters and the practice facility to the RFK site and just have a bunch of other stuff there and let the stadium be wherever it's going to be. You're going to get daily people getting in there with that kind of a situation. Somewhere between, I don't know, the Star in Dallas, and I'm not saying you mimic that because the Cowboys have done it, but that type of model is actually really cool. I genuinely think that if you said, hey, the headquarters of the Washington Commanders is at RFK, you can come here any day you like and get all of the nostalgia, all of the experience. We might even play a couple high school football games here, et cetera, et cetera, yeah. Or utilize the facility for youth, and you get an all-encompassing situation with, say, a mall and all the other stuff. But on game day, because we know we've got actual traffic problems and we're trying to reduce the parking to 8,000 people, which is a disaster, you can go somewhere else. Like, there's a world in which I think that would have been honestly just as good of an option, and the spiritual home element would have been satisfied too.
But that's an interesting thought, because I've talked a lot about, I think they should move the practice facility to the Landover spot.
Yeah.
You already own the land. They need the land in Ashburn, super valuable to sell to these data companies, because it's wired up for the data centers.
Right.
But that's an interesting like backup plan too, of like,
right.
And by the way, it also satisfies your old pal Tom Sherwood's desire to have the team headquartered in D.C. for tax purposes and get all them corporate taxes going into the coffers.
Tom Sherwood, what a guy.
What a guy. On the show earlier this week.
Love Tom.
Lectured on us on all the things that we needed to know, because I asked him to. And he
said,
Tom's
a great guy.
Yes.
So is his son, Peyton.
Clint Yates, everybody. Catch him on ESPN Radio. Also check out the Star Wars podcast, specifically on Sunday, because that'll be May the 4th. Thank you, sir.
Have a great weekend, Gregory. This was a fun one.
A fun one indeed. Clint Yates with us here on The Hoffman Show. Again, there's been so much coverage of this RFK story this week here on the Team 980 at our sister station across the hall, 106.7 The Fan. You've got interviews with Mayor Bowser. You've got interviews with Phil Mendelson, the D.C. City Council chair, including earlier today on the Kevin Sheehan show. Brooke Pinto joined GND on set at Capital One Arena earlier this week. Charles Allen, we did a big recap to start the hour. If you want more, definitely check out that segment on the Rewind, on the Odyssey app, on the podcast, however it is that you enjoy our show on demand when you don't catch it live. All right, it's coming up in the final hour here on a Friday. A final hour, Anthony, that we didn't know if it was going to exist, because if the Caps had lost, We'd be in pregame for the Nats right now, because
there's actually a rain delay. So we actually probably would have. We would have had to do.
They're in rain. I'm looking down there where the game is airing. They're in rain. They're not in rain delay theater. Charlie and Dave are doing rain delay theater. They're done.
They're not. I was just talking to Darius.
They're not done.
So
was Darius down here?
So
if they're not done, he needs to be over there.
So what I'm telling
Who's driving the car?
So what I'm telling you is there's a rain delay. They're doing pregame, though, for 30 minutes. And then Darius will be on at 6:10, and they'll go till 7.
Mm.
So, yeah.
So Grant and Danny, you're having to go, or is Darius all of a sudden doing a show?
That's a great question. I think they're going to be with him. They're going to play two replay segments. That's what
I was going to say. I feel like, because CK was asking me earlier, hey, what's the latest episode of Take Command? And can I have the audio files? Because I think that there's going to be a rainout in Cincinnati, and they've made preparations, which is what they would have also probably done for us.
Yeah.
So we would have been gone. So poor Darius has to stay.
Sadly.
But you could have just had Vic. Why does Darius have to stay? What's Vic doing?
You're asking the hard-hitting questions, correct?
I'm going to go find out. When we get back, we're going to talk about NFL power rankings.